Thanks for listening to the Best of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight from 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the Best of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon on Fox Sports Radio.
I wanted to get to this Aaron Rodgers story because, well, we have the next generation, and it's got nothing to do with him planting nefarious seeds, as our buddy Vic the Brick Jacobs would say over at AM 570's LA Sports, you know, through members of the media or teammates or ex-teammates.
Yeah, that story has largely not moved for quite a while.
Yeah, right? Even though the Davante Adams story is something we have to discuss as well.
Talks broke off with the Packers.
That's right. So now it's the question of, well, all right. And he has talked openly in the past of, well, maybe him not being around could influence me. .. Well, this story out of Sports Illustrated, multiple sports books believe Rodgers will announce his retirement before the initial practice of training camp on Wednesday.
Okay, where's the Scooby-Doo, huh?
Exactly. The Westgate Superbook has, quote, closed all of its NFC North markets, including projected wins, playoff odds, divisional odds, and weekly lines for the four division teams.
Wow. That's quick.
I mean, that's a big deal. PointsBet Sportsbook has removed Green Bay from the list of 32 teams. DraftKings has removed Green Bay over under win total and anything under quote-unquote team specials.
So how many hundreds of times have you heard the phrase, Vegas knows something?
Well, that's it. And that's the point. I know I got a text from our buddy Bernie Fratto, who's working the phone lines to try to figure something out if he does find anything out.
He hosts from Vegas here on this network every weekend.
Yep, 11 to midnight on Saturdays. But yeah, he will keep us apprised. Our buddy Todd Furman from Fox Bet Live and the Bet the Board podcast, he'll join us in the final hour of the show. He's also trying to figure out exactly what the hell's going on. But the, you know, sources with knowledge of all of this say, quote, Vegas odds makers tend to be pretty sharp. But they added
that
a lot
was a
of
little play on words, a little pun there. The sharps.
Sharps.
Yeah.
See, normally people say sharks, but it's really sharps.
With a P.
Sharks was only when they did game shows on television, because calling them sharps really didn't make a whole lot of sense for folks.
Are you referencing card sharks with a K?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah, there you go.
Sharps, as in needle, is what you were talking about, which, like on RJ Bell's show, that gets talked about all the time weekdays.
I think if I had a dollar for every time the term is used.
Oh, you could retire.
I would,
or
retire.
You could go to the SEC right now.
Well, that's a whole other thing, Steve. There's a lot of money to be. And tell me you couldn't get the Minister of Culture to just cut an $80 million check.
I'm sorry, the who?
The Minister of Culture. Don't you know the official title of Matthew McConaughey over
there?
Oh,
that's right.
All he's got to do is two or three rom-coms, 6 months of his life, yell, all right, all right, all right.
In Austin, yeah.
And he's done. And it's paid off. There's no question about it. But this is interesting because you start getting into the financials of it. And you mentioned Calvin Johnson in terms of asking for money back. There would be potential repayment of $11.5 million in unearned signing bonus money for 2021 if the Packers decided they wanted to go after that. He would save $2 million in fines.
Davante Adams.
No, this is all Aaron Rodgers. Nothing to do with Davante Adams. This is if he retires, like the Vegas odds makers are suggesting by pulling things off the board initially. Because right now they fine every day you miss now. It used to be the gentleman's agreement of take your 2 weeks, we'll see you when we see you.
That's right.
And money gets waived.
Forgive any fines,
right.
Exactly.
They can't do it anymore. Right. Like that's now part of the new agreement.
So a rule is actually a rule in the NFL.
Yeah, at least on the surface. That doesn't mean that someone couldn't go drop a giant bag of, say, nickels on his lawn worth $2 million.
Do you think money would actually influence a yes or no decision on this?
I don't. If legitimately...
With him, I mean.
No, with him, I don't think it's money. He's got plenty of it.
Sure.
B, if the reports are true, right, we talked a lot about last week that he turned down an extension and what would have given him another giant pile of guaranteed money, because this is the last year of guaranteed money on the deal, right? Which is why in the current structure, it makes sense that he would play 2021 and then potentially, you know, they do the Vegas blackjack dealer thing and move in the offseason thereafter, right? That there's financial and just contract parts to it. Not to mention also it's another year for Jordan Love to learn at the feet.
Yeah,
and of Aaron Rodgers, then you really know what he is.
Long contract that you mentioned was, I saw $130 million that's going to be finishing.
Right, so it's the question of, for him, I don't think it's walking away from this money, and I don't know that the Packers would dare say, hey, we want our 11-5 back, and I think that's where you truly lose any potential goodwill in the process. Hey, by the way, we would like our money back.
Now, wait a minute.
You walked away, but we'd like our money back.
It was just last week that the Packers said they lost nearly $39 million in the last fiscal year because they were one of the teams playing in front of no fans at home games.
That's right. It took away 10% of their war chest. Which shows you how profitable the NFL is. On a year-to-year basis, how profitable it is. And you look at that built up over just a small number of years, right? They had done renovations to the stadium, all of those things. That's the war chest. The salary cap's going to go up. You sign new media deals. You've got all sorts of other
media deals. That provides everybody, whether you win or not.
Yes.
And you mentioned all the building and they've done, and they've got that great Hall of Fame attached to the stadium and a greater attendance now than before. The Packers, I think they said last week it had been about 20 years since they were in the red for any fiscal year.
Correct.
And it took a pandemic to do it to them. It's a cash cow owning the NFL team. Now, a Jerry Jones, for example, he poured a lot of cash into getting a new stadium and went into debt knowing that because his team's so popular and this league's so popular, he's going to get that money back eventually. NFL teams that aren't the Cowboys, that aren't the Packers or Steelers, just by existing in the league, earn over $300 million each in national revenues. That alone, before you sell a ticket, pays for your payroll. The salary cap was about $200 million last year. Now, you have other operating expenses, and hence the Packers were in the red for one whole year, but I need to repeat out loud, NFL teams earn over $300 million each in national revenues. You talk about the Dodgers and Yankees having their own channel and getting all this money that some of their competitors don't have. The NFL, everything's on national TV. It's as if everyone has their own channel.
Right. Everybody gets that split, right? That's why when you look at this and look at the salary cap, right? You talk about getting over $300 million. The salary cap last year was 196 or thereabouts. Mm-hmm. This year they'll play at 183, even though the money's going back to normal. And then it'll start rising once again. But again, we're talking about Amazon and Google and all these other companies that are trying to carve out their exclusive highlight packages.
Well, Amazon
packages
with the Thursday
games,
package,
right?
Yeah.
Amazon with the amount of money they're bringing to the table here. I mean, not to mention the networks, right? The networks, it's always, hey, you know what? You guys ready to re-up? Let's keep those lines movie as well.
This, Mike Harmon, will get us later in the show to the talk about Oklahoma and Texas perhaps leaving for the SEC, because it absolutely does have to do with this kind of, not these dollars, but this kind of payout per team that the SEC gets. And it's not just from their own channel that they have as a conference. It's the national contracts from a very popular conference. And guess who's probably been involved in these secret negotiations the whole time?
But that's the whole thing, right? Is how much this has been working under cover of night for many months. And there's a question I saw posed. I don't remember the source, but remember when Texas made their coaching hire? I think you might have known something about this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Seems the timing all
knowing they're not sticking
out
in that Big 12 conference that doesn't have 12 anymore.
Correct. Seems like all of that works out. But then we talk about the domino effects and the chaos that ensues. I mean, it's great theater for us.
You like chaos.
Well, I like it between the white lines. And in this case, look, if you need to shuffle it up, and NIL is already doing it, right? I mean, we're already going to see the effects of it for the NBA draft. Look how many guys are going back to school. Why? Because there's no guaranteed contracts after the end of the first round, folks. So otherwise you go play in a fledgling league here, you go overseas. And how many 17 or 18-year-old kids do you know that are looking to just go jump to another country?
Right, and annually there are more guys that declare for the NBA draft than actually get drafted.
By far, yes.
So many spaces. It's a two-round draft.
So now there's the education part, but also with NIL. I mean, when Johnny Juzang made his decision to go back to UCLA, it's immediately, all right, that's a couple hundred grand if they at a minimum, right? Not to mention what Nick Saban had to say about his quarterback who hasn't taken a snap.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Let's go out to the hotline now. Our buddy, co-founder of the Bet the Board podcast, at Bet the Board, where you find that on Twitter. Fox Bet Live, a little bit of CBS Sports HQ, and every week here with us on Fox Sports Radio. It's our buddy Todd Furman, at Todd Furman on Twitter. Hey, buddy, how are you?
What? I'm doing well, Mr. Harm. What's going on, my friend?
Oh, you know, a nice busy night, a lot of angst and hand-wringing because of the Dodgers bullpen. Am I going to be able to get any value on wanting to bet the Dodgers, or are there no movement in futures?
No, there won't be much change there. When you're looking at the Dodgers, they're still the team to beat, at least on paper, in the National League. Obviously, the entire gambling world will continue to keep tabs on the status and availability of Trevor Bauer. If he's not available to go, it changes the dynamic quite a bit, but I still think the Dodgers will potentially make a move, whether it's for a starter or a bullpen arm at some point in the deadline. I imagine with Kenley's recent struggles, the Cubs would be a logical team to pick up the phone and see what the asking price might be for one Craig Kimbrel.
All right, off of that, we go to the story of the day, and I'm sure, well, you guys, we're already done with the season finale, Fox Bet Live. Cousin Sal edges you, so I know you're going to harbor great resentment heading into the offseason here. But the Aaron Rodgers story of Packers futures and NFC North totals and everything being taken off the board, what can you tell us about that, and does that portend real information going into next week's start of training camp?
I think where there's smoke, there's fire in regards to the Rodgers situation. I really believe when you listen to his interviews, you watch his body language during golf, and everything else that we've seen from Rodgers, it suggests a guy who seems perfectly content with his life and doesn't need football to be involved in it, especially if he's going to remain a member of the Green Bay Packers. I still think that Rodgers would play if he was traded to a team like Denver. But I think that we're going to be hearing about Rodgers making a decision about his future. And for the safety of Packer fans, I'm not quite sure they're going to like the response.
As far as the NFL, we were talking earlier, Todd, about the coaches, and yesterday the story was about the players and the vaccine. Where does it get down to your level when we get into camps, and this is still an item of discussion that some teams may be operating? I know in baseball, Dave Roberts of the Dodgers says he thinks it's a competitive advantage for his team that they've hit the ratio of vaccinations. Is it going to get that way with football teams for this year?
Oh, it will play a role for sure. If you're going out there and you're betting a win total and there's potential that your team may have to forfeit a game, that's going to serve as a deterrent. The same way betting futures may change a little bit and keeping tabs on what's going on from a week-to-week basis. We've already seen coaches earlier today relieved of their jobs, whether it's Rick Dennison in Minnesota or the Patriots parting ways with one of their offensive line coaches. You have to keep tabs. When you're talking about handicapping and trying to identify an edge, the reality of it is that everything that goes on can give you an advantage, and if you're able to quantify it in some capacity, that's what will separate the recreational better from the professional.
Now, Ben Roethlisberger is showing up in the, not quite, but maybe the best shape of his life, but he's going to be working behind a completely new offensive line. How much do you look at, you know, those kind of considerations versus, hey, he's a year removed from the surgery and perhaps can put more than 5 yards of air under a ball?
I think you're a little bit more optimistic about his elbow, but I'm not buying into these pictures because Big Ben looks to be in the same physical shape that we saw a season ago. And as we know, and every grown adult out there does, with a different camera angle, you can make it look like you're 15 to 20 pounds lighter.
Yeah.
So I think Big Ben's got to focus more on his offensive line and some of the shortcomings there than anything else. So I know there's a lot of optimism in the Steel City. They'd love to send Ben out on top, The problem for the Steelers is they just happen to play in one of the most competitive divisions. And I think we're talking about the Steelers on the outside looking in of the postseason picture.
We know the NFL is king in this country. I want to hear you frame it in prove that point in this way. When we talk about heading into this season, the Hall of Fame game is going to be on Fox TV Thursday, August 5th. Most preseason games wind up disappointing us because we're so pumped to see the sport again, and then we actually get a preseason product. Still, people in Las Vegas will be quite interested in that and other games in August that don't count and involve mostly players we haven't heard of, right?
Yeah, that preseason game will be the most heavily bet sporting event on the calendar the first week of August. I mean, that's how much people clamor for football more than anything else. Baseball pales in comparison, whether it's NASCAR, golf, you name it. It's all about preseason NFL, even if the recreational bettors out there can't tell you exactly what the snap distribution will look like, especially at the quarterback spot.
Todd, what do we look at, you know, with the number of events in the Olympiad? How much action do you see in Vegas in these? We were talking a little bit about the women's soccer team being a 3 or 3.5 goal favorite tomorrow morning.
Yeah, it's kind of an afterthought. The time zone situation doesn't really help. People not being able to figure out, myself included, which events are live and what time they're actually starting. So the basketball would, you know, typically generate the most interest. But at the same time, you're talking about soccer matches and everything else, just kind of fading into the background. The World Cup, even with the time difference, would be a little bit of a different dynamic than what you'll see from the Olympic sporting events.
Todd, if you're in Las Vegas physically and the Olympics going on these 2 weeks, you mentioned the time difference. Isn't it true that the casinos would have TV off and you couldn't even, if you wanted to go in at an early hour, watch the U.S. women tomorrow?
They'll have the games on in a lot of the sports books through sports bars. You may not have a fervent crowd in there by any stretch of the imagination.
Like 5 or 6 a.m.?
Yeah, exactly. There'll still be plenty of opportunities to watch games if you're out there. But if you hadn't bet them before the books closed, mm-hmm. It's going to be a little bit of a different dynamic in terms of trying to get your action down.
That's the beauty of all these states legalizing things, Todd. I just hit my apps and my web browser on my phone, and away I go. At Todd Furman on Twitter is where you find him. The Bet the Board podcast. You want information. You want an edge. Be sure to subscribe to that. You'll be very happy with the results and the information. And you'll be the smartest guy or woman in the room talking football as we get ready for both college and pro. And I say college because, well, the story of the week overall is Texas, Oklahoma. How much does this shake things up, Todd? What do you expect the ramifications of this for the betting markets and what college football looks like in the next 3 to 5 years?
Yeah, it won't do much this season from a betting standpoint, but obviously going forward, it'll change future composition and what you look at for national championship odds. Obviously, the expansion of the college football playoff will change things. So the nice part is I won't have to claim to have any back office dealings by any stretch, but if they're putting out numbers, we'll try and extract a little bit of value and figure out which teams are going to be the beneficiaries and which teams will find themselves kind of relegated to more anonymity than anything else.
All right, as folks get ready for training camp and maybe they've got a couple of dollars as they're traveling, maybe they're coming out to see you in Vegas, is there a team that whose training camp you're most intrigued by? I mean, New Orleans is a mutant thing between the quarterback situation now, Michael Thomas, and the injury and the surgery. But other than them, is there a team that piques your interest?
I think you look in the NFC North and try and figure out who the heir apparent becomes for the Green Bay Packers. If they are going to see Jordan Love under center, I think the Vikings become the big winners. And maybe if you have Justin Fields can be the savior that the Bears haven't had since Jim McMahon, they take the next step. But for me, I think the Vikings were a team on the ascent, and that journey only gets that much easier if you're playing the Packers twice and they don't have AR-12 under center.
Last one. If you have a message for Jason Smith as he finishes his vacation in Detroit.
I do. I think that Rich Hill was the missing link, and that's going to make the difference between the Mets winning or losing a World Series.
I will make sure to clip that off and send that his way. Appreciate you staying up for us, buddy, and hanging out.
Always a pleasure, gents. Have a great weekend.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
We go out to the hotline. And we get our guy, Jason Cole, at JasonCole62 on Twitter is where you find him. Editor-in-chief, fansided.com, NFL, Pro Football Hall of Fame voter. He probably has some thoughts on Calvin Johnson, but we'll put those aside for the moment. How are you, J. Cole?
I'm fantastic. But I thought Smith was in Detroit doing a remake of Gross Point Blank.
Or maybe.
Right, like, is he going to like some high school reunion randomly?
No, his wife's family all there.
No, I know the reason why he's there, but he has to do something else while he's in Detroit because it's Detroit.
Dude, he's just hanging out at White Castles all night. I'm not even kidding. He got pulled over. This was part of the lexicon of the show last week. He got pulled over last week, and people immediately, like, he put it on Twitter, so we brought it up to start the show, and he eventually had to admit that he had just left the airport and they were heading to a White Castle, and he was programming in where the nearest one was, but he hadn't put his lights on, so he got pulled over.
He was in such a hurry.
Yeah.
He could not even put his lights on.
Correct.
Or you have to be, if you're from L.A. and you have to admit that you're going to a White Castle, you can't put your lights on because you want to be stealth about it.
Well, all of those things come together.
Or are we combining, like White Castle with Knight Rider?
Ooh, nice.
Like,
and then we can have William Daniels be the voice of Jason Smith's car.
No programming needed there.
What does this have to do with football, you dare say? Absolutely zero.
Well, it all ties together. I mean, we had some great quotes from Jerry Jones, and he actually sounded more like Smith's impression in cursing and stuff than I think I'd ever heard him. So we had that.
Yes, he was good. I mean, the only part was, you know, and I know he laughed because I couldn't figure out why I screwed this thing up. And screwed is not exactly the right word.
Yes.
And he's kind of winking and smiling because everybody knows. Jerry, you did it because of yourself, okay? You couldn't, you know, like, let's be real about it. But, yeah, I thought it was hysterical. I mean, the whole thing about Barry Switzer looking, how'd you screw this up? Like, it's just classic.
I just like that we got a Barry Switzer story because it's always just been this guy got to jump in and grab a title. And he was dismissed as basically just being a hall monitor.
He's like Kevin Hart in Ride Along. That's what it was.
That's well put. Now, of course, we do have a lot of NFL news floating about. We go to Green Bay where contract negotiations break off for Davante Adams. And we have the Westgate and other sports books taking the Packers and NFC North odds and win totals off the board. What say you on the eve of training camp?
Not good. Like, is this the, you know, like, if you're Brian Gutekunst, right, the GM of the Packers, like, are you going home, like, kicking your dog every single night? Like, it's not my fault. It's not my fault just because Rodgers blamed me. I mean.
Yeah, you're just going to gently move the dog away from your seat and you're going to collapse. That's what you're going to do. And try to figure out what happened to the perfect world that you had with your MVP QB. And now you're well, circling the drain here, and you're villain number one.
How far back does January seem like to Brian Gutekunst when they were in the playoffs? Like, how far away does that seem like 6 decades ago? And if we did, like, a picture of Brian Gutekunst and what he looked like in January and how much his hair is grayed between then and now, like, it would be like one of those photos of, like, when the president takes over and then 8 years later they look like they've aged by 40 years. Like, that's got to be what it's like for him. I mean, like, he can't even go to a sandwich shop. There's a really cool sandwich shop right down the street from Lambeau Field. It's really nice, okay? I've gone there many, many times, as you can tell. It's not Art's Deli, but it's really
Can I
nice.
Send you Art's Deli? I feel like that was just a... I need to send you at least a giant stack of sandwiches.
Yeah, like, it was a jab. It was a different...
Oh, no, I caught if that. Yeah.
If Smith was there, that would be a saber across the neck, but that's a different thing. You know, since he's the one who, you know, thinks that he got away with such a great deal. Anyways, you know, look, he can't even go in that sandwich shop without one of the ladies in that place going, what are you doing with the Adams contract? Rodgers has screwed up enough, and you're doing the Adams contract now? You can't even do this right. I mean, I can see it happen.
Jason, this is Steve, and question about yesterday.
I know who you are, Steve. I know.
Yeah, I sound different than Mike also, maybe. Yesterday, yeah. The story was about the possible COVID outbreaks and player vaccination. The story today about coach Tier 1 personnel vaccination. To you, as a longtime football reporter, do you get why the NFL's approaching this way? Is it very black and white to you, and do you agree with the approach?
This is the sledgehammer approach.
Yeah,
right.
I mean, like, do this or else. Are you getting it? Like, Cole Beasley, all talk was really nice. You can have that. You can, and some of you older coaches or, you know, stubborn coaches, that's really nice. We really appreciate that. None of you guys are screwing this up. And if you are, we're going to point the thing right at you. That's what they're doing. That's what they're doing right now. They're making it plainly obvious. And look, if Cole Beasley wants to take a stand on this issue and some other players want to take a stand, I'm fine with that. That doesn't bother me. But you're taking a big risk. So proceed with caution. And part of me is like, Michael Irvin is not necessarily wrong. There are sacrifices you make for the greater good of your team. Okay. Taking a vaccine is not such an overwhelming sacrifice. Yes, is there some limited amount of danger out there, and is it not FDA approved and all those other things? Look, millions upon millions upon millions of people are taking it.
Yeah.
You know, and generally it's going very well, okay, when you take it. Go ahead and do it for your team so that you don't screw up the season. Don't be the distraction. Don't be that guy.
So you agree, in other words, with the NFL's approach?
Absolutely. Yeah. Look, this the show needs to move along in an orderly fashion. Okay, that's what their business is. If you want to be part of the show, this is the sacrifice you have to make to be part of the show. And if you choose not to, like, we can't force you, but there will be consequences that you have to pay. And the people are going to look at you going, you're the guy who screwed it up. But that's okay. If you're willing to live with that, go ahead. I understand.
Jason, think the thing for me when it comes down to the, you know, I'm doing my research or I haven't finished my research, stuff like Sam Darnold had been saying, et cetera. But we're talking about a sport that it's always been whatever I need to do to get back out on the field. Shoot me up with X.
Yes.
Did they ever think about the long-term effects of Toradol and just say, you know what, I'd rather just be out and potentially lose my job and livelihood? How many guys said, hey, I'm not taking that? I mean, obviously, it's a stretch, but it's still, when we're talking about the world of football and what you know versus what you don't, you know, there's going to be some bit of risk to any of it. And like, not to mention going in between the white lines.
Yeah, I was just about to say, like, you know, like, you're really worried about a vaccination, but you're going out and you're playing football for a living.
Right.
Like, I mean, like, there's this disconnect in that whole way of thinking, all right? And again, I don't blame guys for taking a certain stand if they truly, truly believe in this, okay? But some of the guys who, like, you know, the guy from Washington who's the defensive end, I can't remember his name, who's basically saying, I haven't done my homework. Well, what have you been doing?
Right.
Like, this is not, like, this didn't, like, come out 2 weeks ago. Like, this has been going on for months and months and months. And by the way, you work for an NFL team. They've got a lot of access to medical information. Just saying, you know, like, all sorts of medical information. And your union's there. They have access to medical information. So the guys who are, you know, choosing not to do this with some lame excuse, that bothers me. The ones, I mean, Cole Beasley, I have a certain amount of respect. He doesn't want to put something in his body that he's not completely sure of. Mm-hmm. Okay. I don't necessarily buy the argument completely, but that's his stand and that's his choice, okay? But again, you're willing to make that choice. You take a certain risk. And that risk is if you have an outbreak on your team and you can't play, you're going to forfeit. And if you want to take a stand for yourself personally, then you have to take the risk that you're going to be the one to blame if things go wrong. That's how this works, because guess what? It's a team, you know, it's a team activity. You're part of a group. And again, if you want to take individual stands, great. But if you want to be part of a team, you need to join in the activity or bear the brunt of the responsibility if things go wrong.
Freedom of choice, but not freedom of consequence as we flow. So last one from me real quick, Jay Colvey, as you get on, you know, the training camps and teams starting to descend outside of this issue and what it means locker room to locker room, is there one team in particular that you're thinking could be the most delicious theater for us to watch?
Oh, I mean, the Patriots are the most delicious team to watch because they spent all this money in the offseason. They brought back Cam Newton. They drafted, you know, Mac Jones. They, you know, where are they? And meanwhile, you know, like, you know, Brady's still dancing around Tampa right now in probably a semi-drunken stupor throwing,
yes,
you know, trophies around. And Belichick's got to look at that. I'm sure, like, I'm sure Robert Kraft, you know, called Belichick into the office and said, you know, you see this thing where they're on the boat and he's throwing the trophy? Shouldn't that have been us? Like going through downtown Boston? We let that guy go? And he made them a Super Bowl champ? Like, what's going on here? There's pressure on Belichick. It's all right there. And he's got to face Brady this season. I'm curious about New Orleans and how that's going to play out without Michael Thomas.
Right.
And obviously with which guy is going to end up being the quarterback. You know, it's most likely going to be Jameis Winston. There's a lot of theater to that one. But if you want to talk about pressure on somebody, look at Bill Belichick. and the rest of his division got better. Like, Buffalo's real good. The Dolphins are getting better. The Jets aren't.
I was going to say, they at least changed their coach. So they have that going for them.
What is it like to be a fan of the Jets and to vacation in Detroit?
There you go.
What kind of combination is that?
There's got to be a book that he can write on that combination. Deep psychological thriller.
And a Syracuse football fan.
Well, there's that too.
Wow, this is like...
Eddie's a Mets fan.
A Mets fan and the Knicks?
And Hartford Whalers.
Yeah.
Knicks too?
Yeah.
Oh, good God. Like, this is self-loathing.
Does this really make you understand the last 7 years of hanging out with us on Fridays a little more?
Wow, he needs me.
He does. He does.
He needs me to bring some happiness to his life.
And you
That's
do.
That's what I'm here for.
That's right. Every I week do. At Jason Cole 62 on Twitter.
I'm there for Jason Smith. I really am.
We appreciate you. You're a man of the people and a pillar of the community. You're the best. Have a great week, buddy.
Later,
thanks for
Be
hanging
good.
Out.
Take care.
That's Jason Cole.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Hey, I'm Doug Gottlieb. The podcast is called All Ball. We usually talk all basketball all the time, but it's more about the stories about what made these people love their sport and all the interesting interactions along the way. We talk to coaches. We talk to players. We tell you stories. You download it. You listen to it. I think you'll like it. Listen to All Ball with Doug Gottlieb on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You see, it has always been Cleveland that's the best part of our name. And now it's time to unite as one family, one community, to build the next era for this team and this city, to keep watch and guard what makes this game the greatest, to come together and welcome all who want to join us. We are loyal and proud and resilient. We protect what we've earned and always defend it. Together we stand with all who understand what it means to be born and built from the land. Because this is a city we love and the game we believe in. And together we are all Cleveland Guardians.
There it is. Tom Hanks with the reveal of Guardians. Going out to the hotline now, Mr. Cleveland, friend of the show and host of the Kenny and JT show on 1480 WHBC. It's our buddy, Kenny Rota. Kenny, I got to imagine a very busy day for y'all today off of this one.
Yeah, extremely busy day today. We knew this day was coming. We just weren't sure when. And last night it was leaked out that they were close to announcing the new name. And then, boom, we wake up this morning and there it was. And then they held the press conference, and Tom Hanks is doing the video. And now we're the Guardians, not of the galaxy, but of Progressive Field.
Well, you did have James Gunn and so many others. I just said the new team slogan becomes hashtag We Are Groot to bind everybody together. But, hey, look, eventually there's going to be Marvel bobblehead days. There's no question about it. But what's the initial reaction, not only from you, who now have to embrace this on the airwaves, but, you know, local reaction there in Cleveland?
Not a fan myself, not a big fan of the nickname Guardians, and I think the logo is awful, to be perfectly honest with you, for all the time and money they spent on coming up with the nickname as well as the logo. We talked about it on the Kenny and JT show today, and I was just totaling up some numbers. 75% of the people, text club, Facebook, as well as our call today, did not like it, not happy with it, especially the logo. And on Twitter, we did a poll there. 38% think it's horrible. Only 11% love it. So from the people that I've talked to and that we've dealt with today, not being received very well, the Guardians, and especially that logo.
Kenny, this is Steve. What would you say about the logo and name? It's just bland. It doesn't engender any emotions. Is that it?
Absolutely. Very vanilla, very boring, very blah. You know, this is supposed to be an exciting day, right? We all knew this was coming. And, you know, whether you agree with them dropping the name Indians, we knew it was coming. So we've accepted that, right? Okay, so what are you going to replace it with? It should be an exciting day. It should be, you know, a buildup of, you know, fans. Can't wait to see what that new logo is going to look like and the colors and the scheme and everything like that. And then today we saw that, and it was like we were watching the press conference, and I tweeted this out. It felt like we were, you know, at a funeral. It was just so somber and so boring and so blah. And I hope they have something else up their sleeve. I hope what we saw today, the logo, isn't the final logo. Maybe if there's enough, you know, pushback, blowback, maybe they'll add something to it or change it. But I'm hoping for some type of change, something else to go along with a baseball that has wings and the letter G on it. It just doesn't do anything for me.
So we'll never know the runners-up, guys, because now after this reaction, nobody wants to hear the alternatives, right?
Well, you know, we were talking about that today, and, you know, we had people calling up about 2 months ago, giving us ideas. What would you like it to be? What would, you know, something baseball related, the sluggers or the dingers, because it's all about hitting home runs, or the walleye because of Lake Erie, and you could shorten it up and tonight the Wallies play the Yankees. You know, just anything, but, you know, the Guardians and then that baseball with wings on it. It just doesn't, like I said, the bridge that they talked about, the Hope Memorial Bridge, where these Guardians of Transportation, you know, were a part of. I've covered this team for, let's see, going back to 1986 when I was in college at Baldwin Wallace, right? I didn't know about that bridge. I know it was the opening shot in Major League, but that was about it. But nobody, you know, really talked about it. Nobody referenced it before. And now all of a sudden, it's who the baseball team is named after. I don't like it, but then again, my son texted me and just called me a grumpy old man and said he liked it. He's 29 years old. He thought it was cool. So what do I know?
I know it was celebrated throughout all of minor league baseball. I mean, they all came out, all their social media directors and, you know, pats on the back and saying welcome to the club in that regard. I also tweeted out, Kenny, and tell me what you think of this. One, it looks a little bit like a logo that you'll see for the Angels. It looks like the helmet of the Flash, either, you know, the DC movies or the CW television show, or Prince Vulcan, also known as Hawkman from Flash Gordon from 1980. Dive!
Well, think about this. The Guardians, that bridge, I think they were put up in 1932, and they were protecting stage coaches and buggies. And here we are in 2021, and we're going back to 1932 with the logo and trying to – I mean, look at what the Seattle Kraken did. Oh, my – you talk about getting it right and getting it wrong. The Kraken, phenomenal. I grew up in Pittsburgh, okay, a Penguins fan. I cover the Monsters on TV here in Cleveland, so they're the minor league team of the Blue Jackets. And I'm a big hockey fan, cover all those teams, love all those teams. I'm going to go buy a Seattle Kraken shirt because it's cool. The logo's neat. The color scheme is neat. I love it. And then today we saw this, and it's like, okay, please tell me there's something more.
So they're keeping the C on the cap. They're keeping the Cleveland on the road uniforms. The colors, I hear, are not changing.
Red, white, and blue, they're staying the same. A different font or whatever to match whatever is on the bridge. Again, I'm hoping for everything that went into this that there is a heck of a lot more. My personal favorite would have been the Buzzards. And, of course, WMMS, one of the greatest rock stations, and an iconic logo there. They could have played off of that with a buzzard swinging a baseball bat. Or even today, why not have one of the Guardians swinging a baseball bat? Yeah, I know they look all roided up and everything like that, but that era is over, right?
So in have theory, one of those, yeah.
Yeah, have one of those guys with a catcher's mask on or something and swinging a baseball bat. Do something, not just a baseball with wings. It doesn't hit home. I think they struck out with it, to be perfectly honest with you.
48-47 coming into the weekend series. But I got to imagine that, folks, maybe if you just started talking about Baker Mayfield and the Cleveland Browns, that would get folks in a better spirit, as it were.
Absolutely. Next week, Baker and the boys will be getting at it. What is it? The 28th, July 28th, first day of practice. It's closed to the public and the media, I think, the first day, but they don't care. People will just be happy that the Browns will get started up, and then you get to go to camp this year. They're opening that back up, thank goodness, after last year with the pandemic. We'll have the Orange and Brown scrimmage practice down at the stadium. People will go get to see that, see Baker slinging it to OBJ and Juice Landry, Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt in the backfield, Miles Garrett looking like one of the Guardians of the Galaxy on the defensive line with Jadeveon Clowney. Yeah, football season can't get here quick enough for a lot of people.
How soon till they have 1,000 potential submissions to put something on the Browns helmet?
You know what? I think with the way they fought when the Browns moved to Baltimore, right? That they're happy with the name, the colors, the history, the stats, and everything. It's tradition there, and they don't want to mess with that. The only thing they want to change there is to have that tradition win a Super Bowl, something they haven't done. And I personally think on paper they're one of the best teams in the NFL with all the offseason moves on defense. The draft pick of Newsom in the first round and Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah on defense, in the second round. I think on paper they've got one of the best teams. Now, can they create the chemistry and can they do it on the field? We're going to find out, but I picked them already to win the division, so I'm sticking my neck out there early on, but I think they've done enough where they're going to be the best team in the AFC North.
All right, last one from me, and then we'll revisit as football season gets going, but the draft coming up for the NBA. What are you hearing locally about Colin Sexton? Is a deal going to get done there?
Well, I'm a believer that he is a sixth man. And on a bad team, somebody has to score points. And he averaged 24 points a game this past year. And he led the team in scoring. He increased his scoring each year. But I just don't see the complete game from him. So I would like to see him moved. And if that means you have to throw him into a package to get rid of that horrific contract from Kevin Love, I'm all for it to get either maybe another top 10 draft pick or a veteran player that can come in and help this team. I'd like to see that. When you look at the draft picks, Mobley would be nice there at 3, but they've already got Jaren Allen, who they just tendered with the restricted free agent contract tender today. So for me, Jalen Green would be the guy that I would go after. I love his game. I've been told that he could lead the NBA in scoring one day. And if you can go get a guy like that and build around him with Darius Garland and Allen, I think that would be a nice start. So for me, Allen or Mobley, but I also hear the Cavs like, Kuminga as well, who played in the G League with Green last year. So it's going to come down to who's ever left there at 3, and then they'll have their pick of about 3 guys, and we'll see what they do there.
Kenny, it's been great talking to you at the Indians, really getting people's hopes up, and it sounds like excitement up for the reveal, and it's the Cleveland Guardians starting next year. So I guess if I may quote, it was, as it turned out, a tale told by an idiot full of sound and fury and signifying nothing. A big letdown today.
Yes, I agree with that. I'm hopeful that they have something else, like I said, up their sleeve that we haven't seen the full reveal just yet. That is my hope.
There it is. Kenny Rota with us. He is Mr. Cleveland, the host of the Kenny and JT Show on 1480 WHBC at the Kenny Rota on Twitter. Thanks for taking the time with us on a Friday night. Now go think of better things.
Yes, I'm going to go. Let's see, what can I do? I'm going to go watch Bachelor Party when Tom Hanks hits a home run with a tennis ball out of the tennis court and says the Indians win the World Series.
I got to say, you probably did spend a lot of time just ranking Tom Hanks movies since he voiced the intro there.
Absolutely. Bachelor Party for me. I don't care what awards he's won. That's number one on my list.
My guy. Kenny, we'll talk to you soon. Thanks for being with us.
All right. See you guys.